Welcome everyone to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. Hope you're all doing well. There's a lot of talk right now about interest rates. And I think it's really important to have some historical context for what these interest rates mean. Also, how the mainstream media is spinning these interest rates. Look, I worked in the mainstream media for a number of years. I know how the belly of the beast works in order to foment fear. God knows all you need to look around right now is to see that monkeypox is scaring the hell out of everyone. So on today's show, I want to talk about mortgage rates, what we possibly could expect for the rest of 2022, put this in some significant and historical context here so we cannot freak out, but also it's important for us to have a better understanding about that. So in 2022, mortgage rates are up and they will continue to climb. Well, that sounds like bad news for homebuyers and investors. If you look at the full picture, you're going to see that rates aren't necessarily up. Instead, it's more like they're returning to a baseline number. In fact, you may even argue these things have been artificially low for so long. Why have they been so low? In fact, you've had many critics of the Federal Reserve saying this is ridiculous. Like, these should not be this low. This is why we have runaway inflation, the printing of money, and the amount of capital that's flowing into these hedge funds and Wall Street institutions. The rich get richer, right? Well, that's our topic for today's show. We're going to dive into the history of mortgage rates a little bit to provide some context. So what interest rates look like in 2022 and what this all means for your investment portfolio going forward. Now, today's mortgage interest rates are well below the highest annual average rate recorded by Freddie Mac. That was 16.63% back in 1981. That's back when my father was a realtor. Now, imagine being a real estate agent in the early 1980s and think about trying to get people to qualify for a mortgage and how much they're going to have to pay for the mortgage on that property. Think about that. 16%. And we're crying right now? Now, in 2019, 1 year before the COVID-19 pandemic, the average interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was 3.94%. The average mortgage rate for 2021 was 2.96%, the lowest average in 30 years. Okay, so it dropped, again, almost a full point. Almost. It's the lowest in 30 years. So, of course, the housing market exploded. People who, and millennials who thought, you know, maybe I didn't want a house, you know, like the pandemic hit and I didn't think I wanted a house because now the pandemic hit and I don't know that I need this, but okay. Yeah. Interest rates are great. And well, you know what? I don't want to live in this apartment in New York City anymore. And now I could have more space and move out to the country and I could do my work remotely. Everything changed, right? Now let's take a look at some of the mortgage rates over the past few years. This is a chart. Trends over the past few decades. So just take a look at where we were. The average on the left side of your screen is the average 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Okay. Look at that. Look at through most of the 1970s, increasing and a little bit down in my year of birth, 1976, but then up 1979, 1980, and then on up and up and up. You know, people like to think of the Reagan years as like boom years and everyone's doing great. Really? Look at that. How is that possible with 16% interest rates in 1981? And then look at the year on the, look at the years on the right side of your screen. 2006, 2007, even in the 2000s, look how high these interest rates were. And all the way down to 2021, 5.8%. percent for an average, or 2.96% for an average 30-year fixed rate mortgage. So while you might be thinking that rates are up, it's actually important to look at the full picture. When you see that chart, I think it really puts it into perspective, right? Our tendency is to panic about these sorts of things, but it's really just the name of the game. And all of these things are cyclical. Now, I know we've talked about this before, but it's worth reiterating. The only way that you've missed an opportunity is if you didn't invest over the last 2 years, right? And even if that's the case, it's really not something to beat yourself up over. Because again, interest rate isn't the only factor that should go into weighing an investment. Now, is your return higher than the interest rate? If so, it's very likely that you're making a smart investment. again, the most important thing I want you to take away is that rates aren't necessarily up, but more so returning to their average, more of a baseline. And again, I will come back to this. Again, I'll come back to the chart here. 2.96%. That's ridiculously low. I mean, that's artificially low. And what happened when they were artificially low? Can anybody who's watching right now answer me in the chat? Like, what happened in 2021 or 2020 when these interest rates are so stinking low? Or even 2019 for that matter. What happened? We have a lack of houses, right? We have an absolute dearth of homes. We can't build them quickly enough. We are in a housing crisis as a result of that. So much so that help me understand this, that even during the pandemic, builders, because of the demand, were deemed essential, right? So houses could continue to be built while everyone else was under lockdown. Builders could build. Why? Because we needed these homes. Why? Because artificially low interest rates kept us in this demand cycle. Remember that we can't control interest rates. There are ebbs and flows in the market, and this is just one of them. Now, the Federal Reserve can control interest rates, the benchmark rate, at which against all things that are based. And so, yes, you move that needle a little bit, and then, of course, interest rates can follow. But these things flow, and we have ebbs and flows in the market. What you can control, though, is how you choose to utilize your resources. How to build wealth with the bank's money and to make some smart, sustainable investments when you're looking at the bigger picture. Now, I do understand that this is a major pain point right now for a lot of people. So let's talk about a few things that you can do to make sure that you're getting the lowest rate possible right now. Now, at our company at Morris Invest, we work with over 100 different lenders. So that enables our clients that work with us to be able to shop around. In fact, we're able to navigate that for them by shopping around. That's number one on my list here. Utilize services like LendingTree. If you're not working with us, you're doing this on your own, LendingTree or Bankrate.com to find the best rates and to narrow down your options. You can put in what you're looking for, and you're going to have banks like competing for your business. And then you'll know, okay, well, I can actually get a better rate with these guys, this smaller local bank over here. They're trying to compete with Wells Fargo, so they're giving me a better rate. Great. And then you win, right? That's their tagline, right? When banks compete, you win. That's actually true. In my experience. Today's episode is brought to you by Bambi. Hey, have you ever had an employee performance issue? I know I had. I mean, starting my business, I didn't have an HR department. I didn't even know how to handle it properly, and I didn't know what to do. And that is the benefit of having Bambi. It's an HR platform built for businesses like yours, so you can automate the most important HR practices, get your own dedicated HR manager. First, Bambi's HR autopilot automates your core policies, your workplace training, and employee feedback. And then what you have is a dedicated HR manager. They're going to help you navigate the more complex parts of HR and guide you into compliance. They're available by phone, by email, by real-time chat. So when I had this issue, I could have literally just jumped on the phone with our HR manager from Bambi and had it all taken care of. You know, an in-house HR manager can cost up to $80,000 a year. But with Bambi, your dedicated HR manager starts at just $99 a month. No hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. You run your business and you let Bambi run your HR. Seriously, the bad news is that one complaint against your company can turn your world upside down. The good news is that Bambi is here to help small business owners implement good HR practices. So go to Bambi.com/investing right now for your free HR audit. You need this, guys. Go to Bambi.com. It's Bambee.com/investing. Bambi.com/investing. Number two, don't forget about the local banks and the credit unions. People forget that you might have had a credit union. You might have had access to a credit union from a number of years ago. They very often have much lower interest rates and all sorts of perks and things you might not even know about. That was the case for me when I joined 20th Century Fox a number of years ago in Los Angeles. I joined the credit union and they had all sorts of like really good benefits and savings accounts and things like that, that I didn't, you know, was unaware of at the time. I didn't understand the benefit of it until years later when I was getting a mortgage. I was like, wait a minute, I still have this credit union account. And it really helped me. And don't forget about these small local banks. Again, small local banks, first of all, they know the neighborhoods. They know the town. And so if you have a relationship with a small local bank, like we do, then you're more likely to get favorable interest rates and favorable loans because they know you, you know, and especially if you do business there, they know the kind of foot traffic you bring in. They know how you operate. And so it's much more of an opportunity for you to get lower interest rates and get a better loan situation with a small local bank than it is with the bigger boys, because you're just a number to a lot of the bigger banks. Smaller banks really have to pride themselves on developing those personal relationships. They can be more competitive, and they're often have much lower rates than the big banks. And they're willing to do really creative things. You can actually sit down at the desk with a local banker and have a conversation about how you want to construct this particular loan or this project. I was able to sit down and have discussions with local bankers to talk about construction loans, tell them what project I'm working on and how can we put this all together. And they were really fantastic. And I would much prefer working with those small local banks. But sometimes you do have to go through an education process. Sometimes the smaller local banks aren't familiar with some of the nuances of maybe some of the new programs that are out there and available. And there might even be some education process involved in sort of bringing those people up to speed. But that's how you build a relationship. And then, of course, you can reap the rewards of that long-term relationship. Number three, fine-tuning your credit score. Sometimes making small changes in your finances can boost your credit score, allowing you to qualify for a lower rate. You can use an online credit score service, or you can sit down with a banker to see if you have out any inaccuracies. That's hard to say. See if you have any inaccuracies on your credit report. Outstanding debts or anything else can be quickly remedied. Now, friends of the show, they are not sponsoring this episode, but I love these guys. Our friends over at Scoremaster. If you go to scoremaster.com/invest, they have a program where they say, look, they have a thing called the 3-week rule. So if you sign up for Scoremaster, they can add up to 61 points to your credit score. And even if you just take their profile to understand what, like where you could actually add points to your credit score, I mean, I think it's totally free. Just go over to scoremaster.com/invest. Check them out. We've had so many of our listeners and watchers of our show tell us that they've had great success with Scoremaster. So, and I've had personal people here on my staff that work with us have had things removed from their credit report thanks to Scoremaster and fixed their credit. So I can attest to this personally. Again, scoremaster.com/invest. They can tweak your credit report by allowing you to add all sorts of additional plus points to your credit score. And even just waiting that 3 weeks that they talk about, 3-week rule, allowing you to fix certain things on your credit report before you apply for that loan could save you like tens of thousands of dollars on your loan. So it might not necessarily be a way to, you know, lower the interest rate, but it's a way to lower your payment because now you're not having to deal with a bunk credit score that's actually driving your payment up. So all of these things are very, very powerful. Number four is to utilize the benefits of a full service team. Now, you don't need me to tell you that if you're interested in buying new construction rental properties, that's what our team does at morrisinvest.com. So you can come over to our website, go to morrisinvest.com, our financing team. Again, we have over 100 different lenders that we work with. And because of this, we can actually help you find competitive rates and terms on conventional financing. And the added bonus here working with us is that our financing team holds your hand through the whole process, helping you have a seamless experience in this process to open, you know, to be able to figure out what your credit score is, to help you identify the best financing, get the best rates, get the best terms, identifying the property that we'll partner you up with so that you own that property as a cash flowing rental property asset in your portfolio. So to learn more about that, come over to our website, which is just morrisinvest.com, M-O-R-R-I-S, invest.com, and click on the book a call button, and then you can jump on the phone with us, and a little calendar will pop up, and you can pick the best time that suits your calendar, and we'll get on the phone and go through your financial freedom number and learn about your overall financial goals. So that's how we deal with these interest rates. Again, I think for historical context here, again, I want to put this chart back up on the screen. I mean, look at this. We are really entering a baseline period right now. And so even if we're in that 5 or 6% or 7% for a length of time, in many ways, this is a very healthy cycle to be in, right? This is a healthy cycle. It allows builders to frankly get caught up in building properties. It slows down the quick sales of properties where there's a lot of speculation happening. A lot of people just throwing properties up on the market quickly, boom, 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 boom. They're buying it, selling it. A lot of what we saw in 2008. You have people getting mortgages that probably shouldn't get mortgages. And now by having interest rates be a little higher and more of a baseline number, it kind of settles things down a little bit. And it calms the nerves, so to speak. And it kind of removes some of these bubble markets and some of the bubble tendencies that we see in some of the financing that's taking place. Again, you still have the mortgage-backed securities. You still have Wall Street bundling up bad debt that they've taken on. So we're still sitting on this like tinderbox right now. But at least with having these higher interest rates, it allows us to enter maybe a calmer period where things can slow down a little bit. And I know realtors don't want to hear that. I know maybe economists don't like to hear that. But at the end of the day, through periods of great growth, I mean, just look at the 90s, for instance. Let me just pull up the 1990s again. So we think about like the dot-com era, right? And we think about the Clinton era, which is the 90s, right? 1992, Bill Clinton comes to office, 1992, right? And look at that, up through 2000, right? We had one of the best growth periods in American history during those Clinton years. And of course, we had the dot-com bust in 2000, but that eight-year period, look at the interest rates during that time. Look at that. So we had one of the best growth periods in American history during that time with unemployment, et cetera. And so that shows you that, I mean, just look at those numbers for mortgage rates during the 1990s, 7%, 8%, right? Really a baseline. There was plenty of building going on. There was plenty of investing happening during that period. Just a few more points on those interest rates. Things can calm down a little bit. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below. Were you investing during the 90s? Do you think that we are entering into a dangerous period, or is this more of a calm period? Let me know in the comments below.